Throughout my life, there's been several times where there would begin to have, I'd begin to have a growth right in the middle of my palm. And after a few days, it would begin to get bigger, and then it would seem to grow out like a bloom. Like one flower here, one flower here, but they're not flowers. They're warts. Have any of you guys ever gotten a wart before? And so at that point, I'm a picker. I don't know if any of you guys out there are pickers, but I'll take the most nasty, filthy thing and just stick it in there to start just jabbing it. You know, I'm going to cut this thing out. And I've gone to CVS and gotten the stuff that freezes them. And ultimately, it's a part of me that I do not and absolutely don't want there, right? And of course, if you're going to shake my hand, you don't want it there either. And it's a part of me. I can't get around it. I couldn't say this isn't part of me, but it's something that needs to be cut away. It needs to be out of there. And there are many of us, as we get older, there are things that the doctor says, you know, I can take care of that. I can cut that away for you here and there. And then there are some who have the doctor say, you've got cancer and we need to cut it out of you. Cancer is part of you, isn't it? It's part of you. It's not a part that you want there, but it is your cells in your body. It's not a parasite, some other thing in your body that's taking advantage of your body. It's a cancer, and that cancer needs to be annihilated. It needs to be cut out. It needs to be cut out so that it's never, ever, ever part of your body again. There are certain things that we come across in our lives and they need to be cut away. We are not satisfied until they are as far away from us as possible. And when Paul begins his speaking to the people of God, to Christians like you and me, he begins by starting off with certain things that need to be cut away. He goes on to say there are certain things that need to be put off like clothes, but not this. The warts, they need to be cut out. They need to be frozen and gotten rid of. The cancers, we want the knife to go through and cut it all away so that it's all gone. When we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, there are things within every single one of us. I don't care if you came to know the Lord when you were 35 and you just got out of the bar and you came right into the church and said, I need to get saved. You say, there's some things I need to cut out. I don't care if you got saved when you were 82 and you lived a superlative life, having always done the nice things. There are certain things that need to be cut out. Even the 5-year-old who comes to know the Lord, there are things that need to be cut out. These aren't things that God wants us to every day deal with. He wants them cut away so they're not part of your life anymore. There have been folks in our church who've gotten cancer, and after 5 years, they get to go in and they get to have this one final meeting. They've been in remission for 5 years, but after 5 years, the doctor, if everything's all right, they say, you're cancer free. You're not in remission anymore. You don't have cancer, right? And God wants us to be able to take certain things that they no longer are part of our life. They need to be cut off like a disease. And so he starts there in verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. I want you to notice the way that Paul puts this, and he does it on purpose. He wants us to have the picture of our own bodies. He wants you to think of your own body. And he wants you, in the midst of thinking about your own body, thinking about certain things that need to be cut away so that they're never there again. In Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ is stark in what he says about things that need to be cut away. He says, if your hand offends you, cut it off. He says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If I were to take a butcher knife and put this upon it and just cut it like a Muslim might do for someone who steals, that hand is gone forever, isn't it? There's no getting it back. I'm not going to grow another hand. It's gone. If I were to pop my eye out, cut the nerves and throw it in the trash, no second eye coming to me, right? It's gone forever. But why did Jesus say that in such stark terms? Because he said it is better to enter into the kingdom of heaven lame or blind than to be cast into hell. And when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are very quickly going to come face to face with certain things that we know intuitively need to be cut away. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to someone and they say, you know, I'd come to your church, but I don't want to give up my life. What do they mean by that? They mean the drunkenness, the drugs. There's certain things that are part of their life that they know intuitively. If in coming to our church, that doesn't do anything, by the way. Your body being in a pew doesn't do anything. It is Jesus Christ who does it. Amen. But we know intuitively if I'm going to take hold of Christ, there are certain things that are going to have to be cut away. You know, I do believe that we make a fallacy and talk wrongly with people. And it's not untrue doctrinally in a sense, but it is untrue in the sense that when we talk to people and they come and they say, you know what, I love beer. People say that. I love beer, man. And so I'm not gonna come to your church. I love beer too much. And so we say, no, come to the church. It's not about that. Well, in many ways, that's true. But we need them to understand that if we're coming to Christ, we're coming to the one who's better than every beer we've ever drunk. I don't care what craft it is. Jesus Christ is better. And if we leave them with the thought that I can have Christ and my beer too, I can have Christ and my girls too, then we are leaving them with the understanding that is wrong. Because Christ is not going to say, you know what? It's okay. I'll just be one of your tag-alongs. You do what you like to do, and I'll tag along with you. This is wrong, isn't it? We should be willing to get rid of everything that keeps us from the best thing. And there are things that need to be cut away. Because they keep us from the best thing. Now, a person cannot come to Christ by saying, well, I'll stop drinking beer. And then I'll come to Christ. This doesn't work because it's not by works of righteousness that we have done. But it is by the grace of God that we're saved. Amen. Jesus saves us. But if we are going to say, well, I want Christ and I want this too, Christ is not going to compete with what we want to. There are certain things he wants us to cut away. And say, these things need to go. And he lays out several of them here. We'll get into them in a moment. But brethren, one of the things that we lose, and I believe the American church is lost today, is the absolute requirement of God's people to be pursuing the holiness of God. We ought to be a people who say, I want to be holy like God is holy. I want to be like Him. In our American church today, so often it is this: God's good, He's cool. But there's a lot of things I like to do and I just want to keep doing them. Oh, please, brethren, understand that when Paul says those things you did, There are certain things in our life that should be in the past, never to be thought of again. Many of you know my testimony. I'll just briefly give it. Some folks had preached the gospel to me, and they were fine Christian men and women. You know, I went home between the summer of my freshman and sophomore year and said, I'm going to be a Christian. No more beers for me. No more cussing for me. No more pornography for me. None of these things. I'm going to be right with God. And do you think that made me right with God? Didn't make me right with God. Because there's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ, who is God and made himself flesh so that he would die on the cross for my sins. That summer didn't make me right with God, but October of 1999, when I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me from my sin, I was immediately right with God. And there were things that God took and cut away. I cut them away, I didn't do them. But I praise God for his grace. I stopped my drunkenness. Why? Jesus Christ is better than anything. I got rid of certain music. I listened to some pretty nasty things. I got rid of, back then it was magazines. Now you don't even need a magazine. You just have to do it in the privacy of your home. Got rid of those things. Those foul things that lead to fornication. These need to be cut away. Christian man or woman, statistically speaking, 50% of all those who consume pornography today are women. That's an amazing thing. You got to cut it off. Like the warts on my hand. God does not want you to live out the rest of your days in bondage to these things. Cut them off. Whatever must be done, cut them off. There are certain relationships that I cut off. Not because I didn't like them, love them, or thought that they were unworthy. They're me. They were me and they are me. But I came to know the Lord. And I stopped certain relationships in the deepness of them because I could not be immersed in what I once was. I cut them off. I did everything that was needed to cut these things off. And that's what he means by mortify. You see, when it's cut off from your body, it no longer has life. A hand that is cut off from my body, that hand is dead. I may be alive, but that hand is dead. The cancer that's cut out of your body, before it was cut out, that mass of whatever it is was alive. But once it's cut out, it is dead. There are certain things that we need to cut out so that it dies. And so he says, mortify therefore your members. Now, why does he say it that way? You know, if it were me, I'd say, listen, man, just stop having sex with people that aren't your wife. Just stop it, man. What does Paul say? He says, that sin is part of you. It is getting its life from your life. It is sucking you dry. It needs to be cut off. Cancer is alive by sucking the life out of its host, out of its, what its cancer, it sucks the life out. It has blood vessels. It has, there's even times where there's like organs within it. It is sucking the life out of you. It needs to be cut out. Our sexual sins, our love for money, our desire for more and more and more and more and more and more without an end, our covetousness. These things need to be cut off. Our sinful and fleshly appetites, they're things they need to be cut off. Whatever needs to be done.
so that they're never part of our life again and they can't have our life anymore. You with me? They need to be cut.
So when he says, mortify therefore your members, then he says, look, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness was idolatry. He's saying these things are part of you, like a wart or cancer. These things are part of you. And these things need to be cut off. So they're not part of you anymore. That makes sense? And brethren, as Christians, we need to be willing to do that. Look, notice what he says. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Because of these things, God's wrath comes upon those that aren't saved. Verse 7, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. By the way, you know what he's saying there? Before we were saved, we had a part in this. Once we got saved, we said, you know what, I got to cut it off. And Paul's saying, kill it. That's what it means to mortify. Kill it dead. Now, why does he use this expression? Why does he use these terms? Because he's going to talk about some other sins. And these sins are different in the way we deal with them. There are certain sins we cut off so that they're never part of us again. There are certain sins that will be with us for the rest of our life in this world. But we need to take them off every day so that we can put on something else. We take off these sins so that we can put on Christ. And we're going to come to that in a second. And so, at some point before we were saved, we walked in them. We lived in these sins, and we need to cut them off. And so, before I was saved, I said, no more of these sins. I'm not going to do them anymore. That didn't work. I came to know the Lord, and I was able to cut these things out. So they're not part of my life anymore. Not part of my life. Drinking, not part of my life. Pornography, not part of my life. Sex is a good thing with my wife. That's the only one. Everything else, cut out. Not only in the physical, but Jesus made sure, not just physical, but also within my mind. Cut out. Because I don't want these things sucking my life anymore. The uncleanness and the unholiness. The inordinate affection. Ultimately, that means loving things more than God. Cut out. So they're not part of you anymore. And then we come to verse 8. Because he uses different terminology and he is using another word picture. The first picture is he wants to look at our body and say there needs to be something cut off. This picture is different. It's a picture of clothing. You remember Jesus at the very last day when they took the Lord's table, he took a towel and wrapped himself and said, I need to wash your feet. Remember that? Now, what was he doing there? He was giving us an understanding of something that we need to do. Number one, we need to come to him and let him wash our feet. Because as we walk in this world, we're going to get some filthy things on our feet. We're going to do some sinning, aren't we? How many of you still sin? That's like having filthy feet. Jesus said, I'll wash those feet. You come to me, I'll wash them. Peter said, then, Lord, don't just wash my feet. Wash my whole body. Jesus said, no, I've already washed your whole body. You see, when you got saved, he washed you all clean. But when we walk in this world, we get some dirty feet. He says, I'll clean those. You come to me. We don't need to get saved again. We need to come to him. We confess our sin to him. By the way, who do we confess our sin to? Who do we confess our sin to? God, right? We have no mediator between us and God except the man Christ Jesus. He is the only one. We come to God, we confess our sin to him. Guess what he's going to do? Scripture says he's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You remember that
episode that Jesus gave us? That is why he gave us the washing of the feet. Then you know what else he said? He said, make sure you're washing each other's feet. You know, if Jesus is going to forgive me of the sins that I commit, I sure should be ready to forgive everybody that sins against me. Isn't that right?
And so this picture of the filth that comes upon us throughout the day is the picture that he wants to give us here. That as we walk in this world, our clothes are going to get dirty. And so you take a shower in the morning or in the evening and you wash up, you get all the nastiness out everywhere. Then you go, and there's been two times in my life, and I hate it, where you're out somewhere and you forgot to bring your underwear. And so you either put on the dirty underwear or you don't go with any, right? I tell you what, that underwear, filthy, it's dirty, right? I don't want to put that stuff back on. And so what he's saying is he's giving us a picture of taking off clothes that are dirty and putting on clothes that are clean. And we in America, we live in a privileged land because we can put on clean clothes just about every day. Isn't that right? I'm glad we don't live in a country where we don't have anything but one thing of clothes and we never get to wash them. I'm glad that I've got several things that I can wear throughout the week. And when the shirt starts to stink, you throw it in the wash and you wash it and you wear a clean one. And how many of you like being clean? Of course. We take off the filthy clothes not to put the filthy clothes back on. We take them off to wash up, and we don't put the filthy clothes back on. Because if we put the filthy clothes back on, we are dirty. Right? We are dirty. The stink is still there. And so now he's using a picture that's saying there are certain things that we need to take off every day in order that we might put on these things. These things are filthy. Take them off like clothes. These things are clean. Put them on like clothes. You guys with me? What's filthy? But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds. What does he want us to put off? Listen, if you get saved, you may have been a drunk before you got saved like me. You got saved, no longer were you drunk. Before I was saved, do you think I ever got angry?
Yep.
Now that I'm saved, do you think I cut that away? Do you think anger's been cut away? No! Sometimes I feel like flipping things over. Right? Am I the only one? Now, am I saved?
Yes.
Yeah. And I tell you what, most of the time when I want to flip things over, it's not like Jesus flipping the money changer's thing over. When he did that, he was right. For me, I'm mad at something I shouldn't be mad at, or I'm way overboard on what I'm mad about. Some of you aren't like me, but you still get angry. And you start dwelling upon it in your mind with bitterness. And you start trying to think of ways that you can get back at somebody. This is wrath. This is what wrath leads to in bitterness. You may be saved today and you say, well, there's certain things. I haven't done those since I got saved. But I tell you the truth, if there's anybody in here that says, I never get angry anymore. Well, let me take you to the last thing. It says, lie not to one another. Right? See, there's certain things that continue to be part of our life. Are they to the extent that they once were? No, and here's why. We can take those off and put on something clean. You with me?
Yes.
We take that off. Yes, I get mad when I flip things over. Ah, I can't believe my kid did that. You better go to your room. I'm going to blow up. But then the Lord Jesus comes. He says, you better take that off. You think I've ever to apologize to my children? Oh yeah. You know why? Jesus said, you better take that off and put on something clean. You better take that off and put off something clean.
Anger, wrath, malice. Blasphemy. You know, the word blasphemy we often think of in terms of the way we speak about God. Taking the name of the Lord in vain, that's blasphemy. Using the name of God in a way that it wasn't intended, that doesn't leave with the utmost respect, that's blasphemy. That's wrong. But can I blaspheme someone else? Yeah. I can blaspheme someone else. I can drag someone's name through the mud. Oh, but it's just with my wife. What's the big deal of that? It's dirty. It needs to be taken off. And this is the picture he's given.
Verse 11, where there's neither Greek nor Jew. These are things that everyone deals with. It doesn't matter who you're from, where you're from, what your lineage is.
Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Aren't you glad God speaks about us that way? When you got saved, you know what you became part of? The holy and beloved ones. You see, before I was saved, I lived in my filth. Now that I'm saved, I can take those filthy things off. Look what it says.
Bowels of mercies. We put on bowels of mercies. By the way, you know what that means? That's talking about the feeling we get when we feel bad about what someone else is going through. There's something. Mercy is something, but then there's something that goes on right here. That's why he uses the word bowels, because there's a feeling, a literal feeling that goes on right here. You hear about what someone's going through, and you say, man, I feel bad about that. What can I do to help? And so rather than anger, what do we put on? Bowels of mercies, right? Christian, we need to put on clean clothes so that we feel something when other people are going through things and we don't say, ah, who cares? Oh, here they go again. No, we ought to feel something. Bowels of mercies.
Kindness. Not wrath. Kindness. We take the wrath off. We put on the kindness. You know what is impossible to do? Be kind to someone in the midst of wrath. I'm flipping mad at my kids. You know what my wife's not going to get? She's not going to get me kind, is she? I got to take it off. And I need to put on kindness.
Humbleness of mind. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. These are things that we need to put on. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now listen. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
And so we have all these things, and Christian, I want you to know, you are not these things. You're not kind. You don't have bowels of mercy. These are not things that are you by nature. Oh, if you just knew me, you'd know how kind I am. Don't you think I'm so kind? If there's any kindness, it's not because of who I am. It's because of who I put on. If there is any bowels of mercy, it is not because of who I am. It is because of who I put on. If there's any charity, any love that says I'm going to do what's best for the other person, even at my own sacrifice, it is not because of who I am. It is because of who I put on. Notice what he says. We're getting down to the end. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How do we take off the filthy and put on the clean? It's through Christ. He's our washing machine. He's our dry cleaner. He takes the filthy and makes it clean. And we need to come to Him every day. Amen. You know, I may get away with, during the wintertime, wearing my clothes more than one day. I can get away with it, right? If I go 2 days, my wife begins to say things like, "Don't you think you should take a shower? Put on some new clothes. I mean, you've been wearing those, that same shirt for 3 days. Now, Thanksgiving just came around, right? You put on your shirt for Thanksgiving, and that's good through Saturday, right? I mean, come on. It's Thanksgiving time. I changed my shirt. All right, I changed my shirt this morning. But listen, you may think you can get away with it. But at some point, the filth is going to smell and it's going to offend someone. And if we don't come to the Lord and get clean every day, some point, the filth is going to smell. You with me? I would encourage you, don't wait 2 days to put on clean clothes. Put on the clean stuff today. Come to the Lord today. When tomorrow comes, don't say, "You know what? I can get away with it. I can get another day out of these." Just go down in the washing machine, put the stuff in the dryer, put on the good stuff, right? Meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly every day. This is how we take off the filthy stuff and put on the clean stuff. And when the filthy stuff starts to offend, run to the One who can make things clean. You begin to be filled with wrath, malice, envy, etc., etc. Go to the One. You're dirty. Go to the One who can make you clean. You with me? There are certain things that need to be cut off. Drunkenness, pornography, never getting enough of the materialism of America, having to have just more and more and more and more. These are all things that need to be cut off. This is what God says. So that they're not part of our life anymore. But there are certain things that are going to come back. And they're dirty. And they need to be taken off like clothes. And we need to put on the fresh stuff. Amen?
Amen.
May God help us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. A Christian, there may be something that needs to be cut off. Tell you what, God is a master doctor. He can cut things away to where there's no scar. But you got to let Him cut it. You got to let Him do it. In the quietness of the moment, there's something that needs to be cut away out of your life. Would you let Him cut it? Let Him do that surgery. He's a master. Maybe by the grace of God, just about everything you can think of, man, that's been cut away. But I know it doesn't matter how much of those things have been cut away, there's still some filth that gets on you every day. And maybe you came into church today and you had everything nice and clean and everything is ship shape on the outside. But you know as well as I do, you're wearing filthy stuff. It needs to be clean. Come to the Lord and put on those things that are clean. Do it now.